For more than two decades, Carol Weston has been the Dear Carol advice columnist for Girls Life magazine. In the course of answering thousands of letters seeking advice, she's had a behind-the-scenes look at the teen and preteen mind. She says some of those questions have remained the same. Does he like me? Is my body normal? What do I do when my best friend changes and we grow apart? But there are some new issues cropping up as well, like questions about sexting and social media problems.
And you can join the discussion about girls at 800-642-1234. What do you think are the biggest problems facing teen girls today? If you're the parent or grandparent of a teen girl, how have you helped her navigate her problems? And teachers, what do you see teen girls struggling with in your classrooms? Call in with your questions and comments about teen girls and what they're facing now at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Carol Weston joins us now. She's been the Dear Carol advice columnist at Girls Life magazine since 1994. She's the author of several books, including her latest, Speed of Life. Carol, welcome to Central Time. Hey, are you there?
Oh, yes, no, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. So how did you fall into writing the advice column? How did you come about doing that?
You know, long ago, I was a teenager, and I wanted to be a writer, and I wrote for 17 magazine, and then I wrote a book called Girl Talk. All the Stuff Your Sister Never Told You came out in 12 languages and was, very successful. So somebody called me out of the blue back in 1994. Karen Bockram said she was starting a magazine called Girls Life. Would I like to do an advice column? I don't think either of us imagined that nearly 25 years later we'd both still be at it. But then I had daughters, and so I just have never quite graduated from girl world. I love being an advice columnist for girls.
So what did the girls ask you? What are some things that have stayed the same over the years and their questions for you?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. The heart of a girl is the heart of a girl. So if you are in sixth grade and your best friend since kindergarten suddenly is going down a different path, it hurts and it's hard. And if you've got two crushes and they're both unrequited, that's hard. And if you feel like your parents aren't giving you as much attention as you wanted, that's hard. So, you know, it's never been easy to be a girl. It's not that hard, maybe, in our adult minds, but for them it's confusing, and that hasn't changed too much. Plus, body image stuff, you know, when you're grown up, your body doesn't change dramatically unless you get pregnant, but when you're 12, you suddenly do or don't get breasts, and whether you're an early bloomer or a late bloomer, it feels like trouble.
And how has social media changed the kinds of questions you get for your column?
You know, I never wanted to believe that childhood was getting shorter and shorter, because maybe our grandparents thought that about, you know, long ago about their kids. But I do think that with social media, kids are exposed to so much before they've even really had a chance to experience their own sexuality. They find out that there's a whole, you know, there's a big menu out there, and they see some things that aren't very helpful or healthy. So I think that that's been hard for kids. Certainly cyberbullying and all that. I mean, I do get a lot of letters from girls who say they met someone online and they know their parents would kill them. And I kind of gently say, get back off. This is a terrible idea. Match.com may be great if you're in your 20s. It's a terrible idea if you're 13.
What kind of advice do you give young girls about navigating the internet, staying safe, and how they should approach social media?
Well, I guess I could give it, sometimes the advice is, hey, summer's coming, it's, you know, it's springtime, get outside, log off, because just the way grown-ups get a little bit too addicted, sometimes the questions the kids have about social media is more, you know, mom won't put down her device, or dad's always online, or they're both always working. So it sort of goes both ways, and it's important for parents to realize that they are role modeling. If they can't get through family dinner without checking their own email, you know, God help you when your kids get a tiny bit older. But I guess I just remind them that both on social media, you're seeing everybody and all the fun they're having, and they're not posting the picture of themselves bored or sad. So helping kids realize that, you know, same thing with on TV. There are girls who literally write saying, you know, that it seems like other people's lives are so much better than mine, and those aren't real lives. So kind of helping them realize what's perception and what's real.
We're talking with Carol Weston right now. She is the advice columnist at Girls Life magazine, has been so since 1994. Her advice, Dear Carol, and she receives letters from girls, and I'm sure they're coming to you electronically now. They used to come to
you
snail mail.
I used to get snail mail. I still get some snail mail.
Oh,
but
you
I get
do.
Way more email.
Right.
And the nice thing is that then the girl will say, thank you, that helped. I really, for about a decade, well, some girls wrote back, many just it was sort of one time. So with email, it can be a better or worse, too, because sometimes people will say, hey, that was easy, let me just keep asking, and I don't mind. It seems to be my cross to bear and my responsibility to take seriously. But with email, it does make it faster for me at the end of the day to just, you know, answer some quick mail.
Yeah, and give those girls some quick advice. Let's take a call now. Stacy in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Stacy.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to get your feedback on something that I heard about 2 months ago, maybe. I took a group of girls to a leadership conference, and one of the things that they had to do as part of being leaders in their school was evaluate what was the biggest challenge that they were facing and what were they going to do about it. And their answer surprised me, and it was something called FINSTA. And I'm just wondering if you've ever heard of it. It is short for fake Instagram. And apparently students are creating fake Instagram accounts and uploading pictures of, for example, other girls changing in the locker room or, I don't know, different things like this. And apparently it's a pretty big problem, not just in our state, but all over the place. Have you ever heard of this?
I guess I've heard of it, but I don't feel like I've felt it as a sea change. I mean, isn't it terrible to think that fake news, you know, we didn't think about fake news as adults a couple of years ago, and now we're worried about, and librarians are actually kind of working hard at helping kids determine what's real and what's not. So, thank you for telling me about this.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's rampant everywhere, but I think it's really important for kids to understand that, you know, what they see is true. What they see online may or may not be true. And even with the word leadership, I'm just going to say one thing. I feel like sometimes there's so much pressure on girls to be leaders, but it's not as though the rest of us are followers. You know, I'm not sure I was a big old leader in high school, but I wanted to be a writer. And so sometimes I just want girls to realize that if they can figure out what they're good at and what they like doing and do it and hit their stride, they don't necessarily have to be even wanting to be a CEO. You know, they want to try to listen to their inner voice despite how noisy the world is, try not to get jealous of stuff that may or may not even be true online, and then, you know, run with that ball.
Stacy, thanks so much for your call. Carol, in one of your books, Girl Talk, All the Stuff Your Sister Never Told You, it's in its fourth edition. What kinds of things are you updating in that book?
Well, yeah, I know, right? I updated it. Boy, when I first wrote that book, not to date myself, but AIDS was sort of, we didn't really know much about it. I wrote that book in 85 when I was in my 20s. And eating disorders were new, and nobody really talked about cutting. And, you know, suddenly, and learning disabilities, we weren't thinking about that very much. So I wish that back then, I think we thought that birth control and contraceptives would be much farther ahead than they are. I mean, it really has not changed nearly fast enough. But again, you know, the family and love and friendship and body stuff, that hasn't changed so much. So the sex and sort of sex ed chapters are always, I probably had a little bit about being gay, but it didn't occur to me just how complicated all of that was. And I get lots of letters about girls wondering about gender fluidity, which is great, but I sometimes think some of them are wondering at age 11 and 8 and 10 and 9, and I think, oh my goodness, you know, take your time. Often my answer to is slow down. Don't rush your crush. Don't hurry to kind of declare and define yourself to an audience. You know, do your best, but don't be in a hurry. So the things about how to apply to college, I mean, that used to seem a little easier too. And
More straightforward.
That's more straightforward. I think, you know, it's funny. When I was in college studying literature, I wanted to write a novel, and suddenly I became like Dear Abby for teens, even though I'd meant to be Judy Blume. So it was a little bit later in the game that I had to give myself some advice and say, if you want to write a novel, you better try a little harder. So I kind of went to the Y. I got some therapy. And then I started. I've written 7 novels that begin Dear Diary, and they're for kind of 10-year-old kids. And then this novel, which just came out this week, Speed of Life, which feels much more, in my mind, substantial and took much longer to write. And I'm proud of it, about a girl named Sophia who, at 14, thinks her life is over, but really it's just beginning.
But how can slowing down help these girls? What is it about slowing down that helps them?
Because then you take a deep breath. And if you're really mad at Taylor, instead of confronting Taylor and feeling that that's somehow assertive, you realize, well, you know what, maybe Taylor didn't mean it. Maybe it doesn't matter to you that much what Taylor thinks anyway. You know, I think a lot of girls feel like, I have a crush. I'm going to tell him that I have a crush, even though he goes out with my best friend. I have a desire, and I'm going to make good on that desire. So it's not so much that I'm telling girls to slow down, and I would tell boys to speed up, obviously. I hope it's obvious. It's not that. It's more like, I think the word is overused, mindfulness, you know, but it's a little bit like, let's just take a minute here before you react, before you yell at your parents, you know. I mean, a lot of girls are kind of, probably boys too, but I'm focusing on girls, feel as though because they're empowered, they should and can, you know, do whatever they feel like doing. And it's just saying, are you sure that's going to be for the greater good? Are you sure that yelling at this person is going to, maybe it'll make you feel better for 2 seconds, but what is that then going to do? So it's just telling them to you know, get to know the guy a little better before you pass him a note that says you like him.
We're talking right now to Carol Weston about the biggest problems teen girls are facing today. She's been the Dear Carol advice columnist at Girls Life magazine since 1994.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Teen girls, call in and share what you think are the biggest problems you're facing and that your peers are facing. If you're part of a family with a teen girl in it, share your thoughts on what kinds of problems and issues you see your teen facing. Do you think there's more pressure on teen girls today compared to 20 or even 10 years ago? And teachers, what are you seeing in your classrooms? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Carol Weston, the Dear Carol advice columnist for Girls Life magazine for the past 2 decades.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think is the biggest problem facing teen and preteen girls today? Do you think social media has changed things for teen girls? And if you're a teacher, what are you seeing from the teen girls in your classroom? What do they think about? What do they ask you for advice about? Parents and grandparents, call in and share your experiences with your teen girls at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go right to the phones now with Jamie in Green Bay. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a middle school teacher. I've been teaching for about 9 years now, and I'm just kind of surprised and, I guess, shocked by the level of mental health concerns that I'm seeing with my teen girls, boys too, but focusing on girls today. I'm seeing extreme levels of anxiety. I'm seeing lots of girls struggling with cutting and self-esteem concerns, and it just seems like it's more and more every year, and like they need coping strategies or skills, like they don't know how to deal with a lot of the feelings they're having. I guess I'm just wondering on your guest's take on that, maybe cutting in particular.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. I know. I remember when I got the first letter about cutting years and years ago, I thought, what is this? And then as we all talked about it more and more, it was important to talk about, but it also felt like suddenly was it more prevalent? You know, sometimes you think I remember not liking that movie 13 at all. When my kids were about 13 back then, and I just thought, you know, some kids do hurt themselves as a really important cry for help, and sometimes it's more of a cry for attention, and I just wish we could give them as much attention as we can in really healthy ways. I thank you for being a middle school teacher. That's a big challenge. It's so important. These kids are going to remember you with gratitude later, even if it seems like a lot of work now. And you're right, but I do feel like we keep raising the bar at what kids are supposed to look like and how great their grades are supposed to be and how much and many activities after school they're supposed to have, and parents are kind of busier than ever too. So it's more important than ever for people to slow down. I heard the Escher commercial. Wouldn't that be a nice thing for a whole family? Teens would love Escher to go to the museum together without their devices and just, you know, have a moment to find. For me, art, going to an art museum is a place where you can calm down. So there's, you know, people, I mean, self-harm it's alarming, and it's harder and harder for schools to address all of this.
Jamie, do you see these girls on their devices a lot?
Cell phone free, so they have to leave them in their lockers. But we do have school-issued iPads. Now there's restrictions on social media. There's no Instagram. There's no Facebook, things like that. I see all of our students are on their phones after school. Like it's like an extra, you know, limb on their body. They're connected to it constantly. And actually, I was going to say, you had a caller earlier talk about the Finsta or the fake Instagram accounts, and that's actually an issue at our school, too, where kids are creating those on social media and using it as a way to cyberbully, but there's really no way to trace it because you don't know who created the account. I thought of that when she brought it up. I thought that was just by us, but sounds like it's other schools, too, so...
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for your call. Carol, how have body image issues changed for young girls since you started writing the column?
Maybe it's just gotten a little more acute. Like, I think, you know, and obesity has become more prevalent. I mean, we, you know, girls have always worried, am I fat? Am I flat? These things haven't changed. But maybe we have become more sedentary and there's more sort of junk food and commercial, you know, being really pushed at us almost. So we know that girls are heavier and boys are heavier and adults are heavier than they used to be. And then they're not happy about that. So, and then they get a very mixed message because on the one hand, you're beautiful the way you are. But if a girl writes me and she's 12 and she's 200 pounds and she knows she's not feeling beautiful and she's not doing her body any favors because because it can be unhealthy, then I try to help her just emotionally and also just with practical things like the S rule, you know, stay away from soda, sweets, seconds, and snacks. I mean, all that Pepsi brouhaha, I sort of hate Pepsi and Coke. I feel like they are sugar water that is rotting teeth and adding pounds, and you know, but they're always disguised as, you know, Coke is life, Coke is it. So I always try to get kids to drink water. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there, but that's a big body thing. It did not used to be. You didn't used to walk into the movie theater and be told that you can have all the refills of Coke that you want and a great big bucket of supersized popcorn, you're going to have, you know, 1,500 calories. Your daily caloric needs will be, you know, met while you're sitting in the dark. So I do try to, my book, Ava XOX, tries to subtly and gently address that because one girl in the book gets bullied for her weight and, you know, your heart breaks for her, but it's almost not fair just to say you're beautiful the way you are. Bodies come in all different sizes. We know that, you know, it's fine to be heavy, but if you're an obese kid, I'm sorry, that's just, I want to help you. I want to help you. If you're an obese adult, I'm not. I write to kids, but for kids, I want to help them.
Let's take another call now. Michelle in Middleton. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I'm calling just addressing the social issue or the social media issue that several people have spoken about. I'm a middle school teacher, and we've had problems with cyberbullying on, you know, as I said to that person, I wouldn't necessarily call them fake Instagram accounts. They're definitely Instagram accounts that were made by kids with, you know, just not necessarily their own names. And the bullying today and the way kids feel, I think, is so based on social media and all the things that are happening there and these accounts where kids can basically throw things out without being held accountable are really dangerous and illegal, actually, in many states. You know, the other social media part that I believe is huge is just kids are basing their self-worth on, oh, do I have this many friends or do I have this many likes? And the cyberbullying thing that happened at our school, I asked some of my kids, I said, you know, do you guys even realize what you're liking here? Oh, no, we don't read it. We just go down and like it. And I was, you know, trying to address the fact that so much of it is just mean, and don't they see that? And they really don't, because it's, you know, this is so much a part of their life, and it's actually quite, I think it's quite frightening.
Michelle, thank you so much for calling in. A real quick wrap-up question here, Carol. What age is appropriate for starting social media? That's a question we got here on Facebook.
Well, you know, I think it's hard to hold the line. I mean, it might be 13, 14, but people sometimes hop on sooner. So that's why, you know, remember when I said slow down? I mean, if you can just buy a few more weeks, a few more months, don't be the first parent to give your kid the cell phone, because then suddenly all bets are off. But even with, you know, even with books, my book, it said, my editor wanted to say age is 10 and up. And I thought, you know, this deals with grief and heavy issues. Can't we make it 11 and up? And we said, sure, but it's just.
And I'm going to have to jump in there, Carol. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was Carol Weston, the Dear Carol advice columnist at Girls Life magazine since 1994. And we can continue this conversation over on the Central Time Facebook page.